Maybe our chair, maybe he's gonna be remote.
Tasia said she'd be here.
She's stuck in traffic.
Oh, there's a surprise.
What happened?
Stuck in traffic.
Traffic. Oh, gee.
That was not a problem 20 years ago. Her last name is James, so it's Judith James. Finally, it hit me. I'm like, my brain's getting a little rusty.
All right, can you hear me now?
She's doing fine.
All right. I can't, okay. I can't figure out why it won't let me turn on my camera though. So I don't know if that's a setting that is not allowed or, because I use Zoom before on my computer and my camera.
Settings on your computer.
I don't.
Or is it on Zoom?
Maybe.
Maybe that's okay.
Let's try it.
Oh, here we go. Let's see. Yep.
That's what it is.
Yay.
Look, technology works. Okay. That's Mark.
Hey. All right, since I can't see if everybody is in the room, are we good to go?
Hold on. Let's see if you have a quorum.
Renee's doing a check. Hold on just a minute.
Okay.
Flavia and Eva too.
Flavia's in.
She got it. Oh, cool. If you want to, I guess, take roll, we can start.
Fine. You want to go ahead and call the order and do roll?
Absolutely. Here we go. So at 3:03 p.m., call this meeting of the RCCD Citizens Bond Oversight Committee to order. Let's go ahead and Renee, if you wouldn't mind calling the roll, please.
Actually, you call it.
Or you want me to do it?
Yeah.
All right, that works. All right, so Vice Chair Petty. Vice Chair Petty, absent. Member Reynolds?
Here.
Great, welcome. Mr. Vall?
He might be late.
Okay, no Mr. Vall yet. Member Rizvi?
I'm here on Zoom.
Okay, perfect.
Hello. Here, everyone.
Member Delgadillo?
Here.
And member Tate?
Here.
So it looks like currently we have members Petty and Vall are currently absent, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so I think that still gives us a quorum to move move forward. Excellent. All right, so the first order of business, we will rise for the Pledge of Allegiance, please. And ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, perfect. Thank you. Apologize that I'm virtual, everyone. I'm out in Texas today, so I apologize. So thank you for the virtual capabilities. I appreciate that. All right, so the first order of business is public comment. For any of those wishing to public comment, there are three ways for members of the public to comment on today's agenda or items that are not on the agenda for that matter. The first one, and you can be in person at the RCC board office there, or not the boardroom, but the corporate office, and you can be in person. The second way is to do it virtually, like myself and a couple of the members. There is a comment way to just say that you would like to comment on there, and you can do that. And then the third way is via email. You could send an email to the cboc@rcc.edu. So you have three ways to make public comment. Is anyone in the room for public comment?
No.
All right. And do we have any comments in virtually or via email? All right. Seeing none, if we have someone that pops up, let me know. But otherwise, we will move on to the first order of business is the approval of the minutes from our meeting in October 13th, 2022. Entertain a motion to approve or if anybody has any changes.
Move approval.
A second.
All right, so we have an motion by Member Tate to approve the minutes, and Member Rizvi has seconded. We'll just do a voice vote. All those in favor of approval of the minutes, say aye.
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 All those opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes unanimously. All right, moving on to the next order of business, which is the Proposition 39 audit update. And we have two items under here. The first one is portion A, which is the governance letter.
Thank you, Chair Every. We have the, each year there's a requirement for these funds to be audited under the Proposition 39 standards. I'll turn this over to our controller, John Garrity, to introduce our auditor to walk us through the presentation.
Thank you, Chair and members. Just to remind everybody, every 5 years, we take our audits and we do a new request for proposal. And so last year, Member Tate from this committee actually participated in that, and we actually changed auditors. So this is our first year with our new audit firm, iBailey. They've done the district audit for many years, but this first they took over the audit of the Proposition 39 bond fund. And so with that, we've invited here Rick Alonzo, our partner in charge of this audit, and he will take us through the presentation.
Awesome. Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Hope everyone has had a chance to review the report. I'll go through the report, and if you have any questions, feel free to just ask. You know, I don't mind if you interrupt me or anything like that. This is entirely your meeting, so feel free to ask me questions. Basically, under Prop 39, one of the requirements, in addition to have a bond oversight committee, is that you have a performance and financial audit. And the report itself is two reports into one. The first part of the report is the financial statement audit, and in the back is the performance audit. So I'll go over the financial statement audit. So the scope of a financial statement audit is for auditors to come in and give an opinion on the financial statements. And this is specific to the general obligation bond Measure C funds. We come in, we audit that information from the district's general ledger, and we give an opinion. So when you look at the report, the opinion starts on page one. There was a change in the opinion. If you look at last year's opinion compared to this year's opinion, there was an opinion. There's a what we call SAS 134, Statement on Auditing Standards 134 change, where it kind of changed the format of the opinion and actually did some good things where before the actual important paragraph of the opinion was in the very last page of the opinion. It's actually at the very first page now, and you really focused on the second paragraph where it says, in our opinion, the company financial statements referred to above present fairly in all material respects. This is what we call an unmodified opinion. It's the cleanest opinion you could receive from an audit, and it states that the financial statements are fairly stated in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles. So it's the one you want to receive as a board. The financial statements, and I won't get too much specific in the numbers because these are numbers that you've all have seen before, and we made no changes to the numbers. The financial statements start on page four, and you can see at June 30th, 2022, the district had about $17.8 million left to spend in Measure C funds. And when you look at the balance sheet, the balance sheet is as of a day and time. It's as of June 30th. So this is as of June 30th, the information that you have. And then to go along, the notes to the financial statements start on page six. They give detail to the financial statements. So if there's something on the financial statements you want to get more detail on, you could usually go to the notes to the financial statements. So just to recap, for the financial statements, the district received an unmodified opinion on their bond fund. The performance aspect of it, and that starts on page, real quick. On page 12, we list all our findings and recommendations. As auditors, I know I say auditors are negative people, right? We always have perception of being negative. And there's a reason why. we're not allowed to give positive assurance. The auditors are only allowed to give negative assurance. So we're only allowed to say bad things. We're never allowed to say anything good. So on page 12 is all our findings and recommendations. And you can see it's a blank page. A blank page is good from an auditor. It means that we don't have anything bad to say. So for the financial statements, we didn't have any findings associated with the bond audit. And then the performance audit actually starts on page 14. So the performance audit is basically a compliance audit. What auditors do is we're going to select a sample of expenditures to make sure the district is spending the money in accordance with what the voters approved for those specific projects. So that's basically the scope of the performance audit. And with the performance audit, the opinions is on page 14. You're looking at the second to last paragraph is the most important one, where it says the results of our tests indicated that the district expended general obligation bond construction funds, Measure C funds, only for the specific projects approved by the voters. So we didn't know any issues in terms of the district spending money inappropriately. As the review of our sample indicated that the district is spending the money only for the specific projects approved by the voters. And the one page I really like to go off is page 16. Page 16 actually shows, and the very last sentence says, our sample included, we looked at 53% of total expenditures of the district, which is a large sample amount for an audit. We looked at 53%, and in all those samples that we looked at, the district is spending the money appropriately. So we didn't know any issues there. And starting on page 18 is the findings and recommendations that we have. And if you looked on page 18, you could see that you have your blank page. So we didn't have any findings. So just to recap, the district received both clean opinions for the performance as well as the financial statement audit. And we did not have any findings and recommendations for this fiscal year. One of the last things I like to say is our professional standard, but we would need to let the board know if we had any difficulties encountered during the course of the audit, any disagreements with management. I'm happy to say we didn't have any of those issues. When we come out, the district is always very well prepared, very professional. They give us information in a timely manner. As auditors, we really appreciate that. So it was a very clean audit. And at this time, I can answer any questions anyone might have with the performance or financial audit.
I do, and thank you very much for the report. Appreciate it. I do have a quick question, and maybe I misunderstood. At the beginning, you mentioned that the opinion this year was different than last year. Is that did you say, and what was the difference in the opinion? I know this year is very good. I'm just curious on what the difference.
There's no difference in if it was a clean opinion. It's just the format of the opinion changed. There was some more transparency that our professional standards added. So there's more information about the auditor's responsibility in terms of the audit for the audit opinion, but the audit opinions were, there was no change in audit opinion from a cleanliness standpoint. It was just the format of the audit changed with our professional standards. So, and that goes with every entity we had, all the format of the opinion changed.
Appreciate that. Thank you. Thanks for that clarification. I apologize for my misunderstanding. I just have one other question, and it may be silly, but you mentioned that you look at 53%, and that's a lot. What's a standard, or what are you required to measure in terms of looking at the financial statements? If you did 53%, what's the typical standard?
There's really no requirement. The requirement is for our standpoint is we need to look at a fair representation sample that we're able to give a clean opinion on. So when we feel that we've looked at enough to give them a clean opinion, then, you know, that's basically what we're going to do. As a firm, what we're going to do is, you know, there's large dollar amounts with the bond. So, I mean, you could look at only a few transactions and get a good, like, you know, 10-15%, which doesn't feel right for me to give a clean opinion. So I want to make sure I get a good representation of a sample where I look at all the projects the district have going on in order to give a clean opinion. So it's kind of basically based on auditor judgment in terms of what sample size we're looking at. But with our firm, it usually turns out that we're hitting above, you know, 50% in our sample size, just because we want a good representation sample of what the district's spending their money on.
Perfect. Thank you. And before I ask for any questions or comments from the rest of the committee, I just want the record to reflect that members Petty and members Ball are both now in attendance at the meeting. So thank you. Any other questions or comments from any of our other committee members? All right, I don't hear of any questions. So sounds like you got it all out there. So thank you very much for the report. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. You guys have a great rest of the meeting. Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You don't want to stay?
It's pretty riveting stuff. Come on, we only do this four times a year.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm the 91 and run away.
Yeah. You guys have a great meeting.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, so that was both on section agenda item 4. That was both A and B, the audit report and the governance letter. So with that, we will move to item 5, which is the Measure C financial update.
So here once again to present the project commitment summary report for December 31st, 2022 is Director of Business Services, Misty Griffin.
Hello, good afternoon. Okay. So what we're seeing right now is the project commitment summary report. And this is a summary of all the activities through December of 22. The highlighted sections throughout the report reflect any kind of transaction changes that occurred since the last meeting. The first one that we see is the change in the cash in hand. And this has changed in the amount of about $1.78 million. Which is primarily geared towards the Ben Clark Training Center project in the amount of $1.7 million. And the balance of that difference is made up of a couple of other smaller payments for other projects that you'll see highlighted throughout the project, throughout the report. Down here under the project commitments and proposed project section, this section for total project commitments has changed the amount of about $58,000. And this is due to, part of it's due to the project closeout for the elevator modification, fire alarm system repair and upgrade at Moreno Valley College. Now the unused portion, since this project came in a little bit lower, the unused budget went back to the district since that's where the project was originally funded. Related to this same closeout, is the change in the non-Measure C portion of the funding. And you'll see a little bit later in the report that this portion changed by about $16,000 on the non-Measure C portion. The other part that makes up this difference of about $58,000 is the interest income adjustment of about $37,000. And this, if you recall, is an annual reconciliation between what budgeted and the actuals for the previous fiscal year and the new budget for the current fiscal year. So both of these items, the interest and the project closeout, went to the November board. And that concludes my report for this particular, That concludes my report for this.
Perfect, thank you. Any comments or questions from the committee on the project commitment summary report? All right, no questions. So then we have the capital program executive summary, correct? Next.
Yes, that is correct. Me again. Can we go to page 52? Oh, there we go. Okay. So this report reflects any kind of budgetary changes for the period of October through December of 22. Right here on the income distribution through June 30th, we have a change of about negative $268,000. And this is due to the previous fiscal year actual interest earned of about positive $100,000 and the Riverside County Treasurer investment adjustment to the fair market value as of June 30th in the amount of negative $366,000. And at this point, Aaron would like to say a few words about the fair market value adjustment.
I just want to tell you that so all of the Measure C bond funds are invested in the county treasurer under their and our investment policy. And as you all know, the market was not favorable as much as it has been in the prior year. So as they true up and recognize losses in their investment portfolio, those get distributed out to all of the public agencies that hold funds with the county treasury. And so we get our share of that as well once they do that true up. So that's what's reflected here. Now, if the market turns around in the way it has been over the last, eight or 9 years or so, when we had a rising market, we've been the beneficiary of the rising market with our funds maintained there.
But those are unrealized losses.
Yes, those are unrealized losses.
How much change that you'll see here is on the project commitments line there. And this is also due to the close-up of the Moreno Valley Elevator Modernization Project. So it's reflecting the unchanged in the close-up of that. And again, both the interest and the close-up of this project went to the November board. And that concludes our report. Are there any questions?
Any other questions? I appreciate the report and appreciate the clarification on how the funds and the interest works there for us. So thank you. All right, looks like we will go next to item 6 on the agenda, which is the project updates. First one is the board reports.
We'll have Associate Vice Chancellor Hussein Aga present these next two reports.
Thank you so much, and good afternoon, everyone. We had two board reports during this period. The first one is was approved by the board in September last year, approving the football field and running track replacement project at Riverside City College. The board approved $7.7 million for the replacement of these two systems at the college. And the project is partially funded by Measure C, the amount of $625. The rest of the funding actually came in from the local businesses. Any questions on this board report?
Is it just curious, maybe this isn't the best place to ask, but is it on track? I know they're trying to get that done so that way it was going to be ready for start of football season next year. Is it looking like it's going to be on track and done in time?
Well, we are doing definitely our best, and we are working out of the box to deliver this project by the fall this year, this fall. Currently, the project has ESA. It was submitted to ESA before Christmas break. We are trying to bid the project even before ESA approval, but we're not going to get what it will be once it's awarded to the board. It has to be with the permit. So we're trying to really... Mm-hmm. Finding expedited way in order to get this project done. So at this point, I say we are on track with the design and permit, perhaps, but there could be unforeseen once we pull the old system and we'll find out.
So part of you may remember that on this project, we were on a very expedited timeline, as you mentioned, but there are external factors that could come into play, and we just learned of one today, I think, or just recently with DSA. There's code changes that went into effect, so they got a flood of projects in that now have stacked up to meet the code changes that went into effect January 1st. So we reminded them that we met with them to lay out this game plan and the importance of the expediting this particular process. Yeah. So we're hopeful that that's going to they're going to stick to their commitment. As Hussein alluded to, we are trying to think out of the box on the way to, cut as much time as possible out of it. So we're going to bid the project, but not award it pending DSA approval.
Great idea.
And that's what will provide us at least, a month and a half on expedited procurement process.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, thank you for the clarification. Any other questions on that previous report? All right, moving on.
All right, so this board, the Board of Trustees also approved in December, last month, approved the construction management services and the development of 404 to Kitchell CEM for the Marina Valley Student Service Project. This project was approved by ESA approval last month, and now we proceed forward with the next step, which is hiring a construction manager who's going to help the district with the need to attract grants for construction.
Okay. Any questions or comments on this report from the committee? All right. Additional board board reports, or no, it's just the two?
Only two.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much. All right, so then we have the Measure C project summary status update.
I'll start off with the first one, which is the Life Science Physical Science Reconstruction Project at River Science City College. This project is currently under construction, on track as far as the time, and we anticipate the delivery of the project by spring 2024. Mm-hmm. So we are on track with the construction. We already started construction this week. The second project, which we just gave an update a few minutes ago, is really the football field replacement at Riverside City College. The last project, as I mentioned, is Marina Valley Student Services Renovation Project. We engaged construction management firm to help the district with the with the construction phase. We got ESA approval, which is very great, and now we are proceeding forward with the procurement of the general contractors, and then start construction. We anticipate construction to start in May this year.
Can you elaborate on the pre-qualification process for the center?
Correct. So one thing that's already upcoming in January is that we got ESA approval, and now we are pre-qualifying general contractors. Mm-hmm. We're gonna engage in this project. We wanted to really weed out those contractors who are problematic, having issues with their finance or performance. So we have been always doing pre-qualification to make sure that we really have the right partner for the district. So pre-qualification is going to be approved by the board in January. Then it will be, we'll issue that RFP and pre-qualify the pool of general contractors who can bid out for the project.
So in a typical public bid situation, a lot of times it's low bid, and you take your chances on the low bidder. Mm-hmm. And if they meet the minimum quals, there's not a lot you can do about it. So in order to help to minimize our risk, because we've had our fair share of GCs that either fail to perform or drag their feet or try to push change orders or a variety of different things. Because of the low bid process, mm-hmm. We try to pre-qualify a slate of qualified GCs that meet very specific criteria that are spelled out, mm-hmm. So that then they can then bid on the project. And we hope that that mitigates our risk associated with the project. It's something fairly new that we've been put in place. I think we've only done one other project.
We did one for the Benicolet Venue Center that was a long time. So we pretty much pre-qualified 20 different times for that project. And then we did it also for the life science, physical science.
And in order to not just have a straight public bid, low bid situation, we actually have to go to the board. The board has to go through an authorization process to be able to permit us to use this methodology. Mm-hmm.
Did you get any protests from anybody who was not included on the list?
The life science, physical science, we just got, not a protest, but the company that, well, not even question why they were not first qualified, they did not really meet the financial requirement. The project was 28 million. I think they were below that threshold by over 20%. So we said you're not going to be able to bond issue the project if you are below the threshold. So they understand and they work away.
So those are the exact reasons why we go through this process. Right. So that is dealt with at the front end, as opposed to them bidding on the project, being a little better, and then find out later.
It sounds like a good process. You don't want them just to pull up and walk away.
Yeah, like I said, we've had our experience
learning with, curve
with just general contractors off the street, and this is a much better process.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Any other questions or comments regarding the report from the committee? All right. Thank you so much for the report. Appreciate it. All right. Then the last order of business on the agenda is business from committee members. The only thing I will add is want to acknowledge and apologize for one item that should have been placed on the agenda, but it wasn't noticed until after the fact. And I apologize for that. My bad for not seeing that is the election of chair and vice chair for this coming year of term. We approved in the bylaw changes that we would those terms would run January to January. So we couldn't get it on the agenda in the time by the time we noticed it. So that will be on the next agenda for the election of chair and vice chair for this coming year. Any other business from committee members that they would like to bring up and discuss? All right, seeing none, thank you to the staff for the presentations and the work putting this all together for us. Thank you to the committee for all being here for 100% attendance, appreciate that. And with that, we will close the meeting and adjourn at 3:32. Sorry, looking at my phone, my bad. At 3:32 Pacific time. So thank you all very much, appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year.
It's a 2-hour difference for me, that. Mm-hmm.
Thanks, everybody.
Fine, thank you. Huh?
That's okay.
Yeah. Oh,
what'd you say?
Thanks for. Sorry. Okay, so I have to answer. Or readily available. I don't know.
Yep. It's okay.
Thank you. I have to have some sparkle somewhere. So. Bye-bye. 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 Bye-bye